In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, Gary and Chesta are joined by extra special guest hosts, Greg and Derek from Men of the Den. Tune in to find out who they thought belted it out of the park and who deserves rotten eggs for their performance in VH1's Divas, a tribute to RuPaul. As COL Drag Race Tea Time All Stars 3, Episode 2, starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
That's right, kitty girls. It is February 5th, 2018, and welcome to Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time All Stars 3, episode number 2. Yes. We are back yet again, and we are looking forward to tonight's episode. So, with me, because I'm Gary, in case you didn't know already, is my co-host.
Hi, Chester.
Why are you so timid, girl?
I don't know. It's like different than normal.
Okay. All right. And also this week, we are joined by a special guest host. Everybody, please welcome Greg from Men of the Den. Yay.
You are muted. Let's try that again.
Or is he able to unmute?
I don't know.
That's not cool.
Can you hear me now?
There yes! he is.
Hey. I don't know how that happened.
That's okay.
But anyway, here I am.
Yay.
So Damon is on special assignment. He's busy looking up skirts to see where the candy's hiding. but before we get into discussing episode 2, we do have a little bit of feedback. We got a Facebook comment about our first episode from our Tea Time series last week. Mike A said, Chester was coming through crystal clear on this video, like HD. Never realized he had such beautiful blue eyes. Winky emoticon. Great show. Can't wait for the rest of your recaps.
Thanks.
So my co-host is blue.
I was thinking green. That, but I wasn't going to say it.
Well, they're not even green. They're hazel. They're like muddy shit. Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Perhaps but they thank are. You. Perhaps they are Mariah Beyonce. You know, that light, lovely brown honey kind of color.
I'm very curious who this person is, because I don't remember seeing that comment.
I don't know. Actually, you know what? And I think I got that incorrect. It was not on Facebook. It was YouTube.
Oh.
So if you go and you find, you'll be able to see the comment, and then you can, like, click on his profile or whatever. Check him out. All right. So as always, our weekly topic is RuPaul's Drag Race. It is All-Star Season 3. Season 3. So we are going to jump into a couple of our sections that we talk about. And because we have a guest with us this week, instead of bantering back and forth between the three of us, Greg's going to lead us off because we like our guest to go first. So let me... looking for this. So this is our lead into the first area of discussion. Put the bass in your
I'm usually not wearing clothes when I dance to this.
You're welcome to take your shirt off.
Nice. So, Greg, what were your thoughts on this episode?
The thing that I'm noticing so far this season, which really impressed me in the second episode, is I don't feel like there's any... there's people that are excelling, but there's no front runners. I think at this point, it's still anyone's game. It's not as obvious as All Stars 2 was, who was probably going to win. There's a couple of front runners, but you know, the way the game's playing out, I think it's pretty evenly matched this season. So that's what I'm noticing. Oh, we have a cat in the shot.
Hi, pussy. How are you?
Hey, kitty girl.
She's like,
but yeah, that's what I'm noticing.
I'm all in this business.
Oh, she'll probably pop in and out a few times. She likes the camera. Yeah. But yeah, though, that's what I'm noticing so far is that everything is more evenly matched, which I'm really enjoying compared to All Stars 2.
I can kind of agree with you to an extent, but I think that there's overall, yes, I will agree with you that for the most part, nobody's really standing out quite yet, but mm-hmm. I do think that there are two, maybe three girls that are edging out their competition just a little bit more than others are.
But I think what's going to make the difference this year is that there's more gameplay going on. Like, when there was talk with the bottom two, are you going to throw me a bone later on? And, you know, I have a feeling that if someone starts to look like they're a big threat, that the other girls are going to want to take, are if they get the chance, are going to take them out. I don't think it's going to be like season two at all. I think they're going to take out the threats if they have a chance.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I mean, I definitely think that there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on. I think there's also some calculated, like, reality game show type stuff going on. Like, some people realize that they have a role and they need to play it. You know what I mean? And they need to play that kind of role, but they're making references to other shows and different stuff. So I don't know. There's really only one person. There's only one contestant right now that has kind of annoyed me that I feel they are only there to advance their own career, which they all are. But this one, it seems like
interesting.
I think they're putting on a good face that they want to win. But the reality is, I think they think that by being on the show, it's going to propel them even further than it has thus far.
Does their name rhyme with elk?
It may be spoiled. So yeah, I mean, I just I'm having an issue with a certain someone who just is a little too self-important, and I'm kind of like, no. So, and I think that'll wear off with time. Any other thoughts on the episode in particular this time around?
No, I think that covers me. Those were my main takeaways from this particular episode.
Okay. So for me, my feeling is bitching isn't winning. I am gonna get real tired real fast if this becomes a recurring theme that every episode a queen decides that they're just gonna word vomit all over the place with their feelings about stuff, because I'm not really interested in that. I'm interested in you performing. I'm interested in you entertaining. I'm interested in you advancing and showing that you can, that you've not only improved since your previous season that you were on, but more importantly, that you are elevating yourself. Like, the first season, I think, is always about elevating the art of drag. And then when you come to All Stars, it's about you elevating yourself and being able to, you know, outshine the rest of the performers.
It's like I always say about any reality show where creative talent is being judged. The judges are there to push you. They see something in you and want to tweeze that out. So when you are on the regular seasons and they see your potential and they're like, you're almost there and we've given you enough critique that you should be able to excel at it. So in my opinion, when they bring them back onto All Stars, they've already reached that level, and now they want to, like, kick it into overdrive.
they're expecting them to already be there. They don't need the critiques to improve at this point.
Yes. You know, so it's not at all surprising when one of them does something like last week's episode when, who was it that said something about Chi-Chi and her in her shoes? Oh, maybe it was Thorgy. She said something like, you know, you shouldn't be wearing them. Or maybe she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
She should have known.
She definitely should have known.
Yeah, she should have known. But that might be speaking to the fact that there's something else going on and we don't know what it is. I'm gonna pose this theory out there right now. I think something's going on with Chi-Chi and we don't know what it is yet. So, like Adore in All-Stars 2, where there's like a breakdown, and like Valentina in the last season,
mm-hmm.
I've just been noticing little things. Like one very particular thing has annoyed the motherfuck out of me. Chi-Chi doesn't know how to walk.
Like, no, she doesn't.
I've watched her walk the runway twice now, and I'm like, girl, why are you wobbling all over the place? Like, what's up with that? And the flat foot thing. And like, and I'm not really trying to come for her, but I was like, are you high?
Yeah.
Like, are you pregnant? Like, what's going on that you're like, you just seem to not be on point. Like you're not on your game. And it's very weird to me. And I haven't been able to quite figure out what that is. So if there's some big twists and turns, I'm not going to be surprised if something gets revealed about Chi-Chi. And she's like, you know, I don't know, fighting some illness or I don't know, something. It's just, it seems so weird.
You think that might be it? Hmm.
Well, I mean, she could just very well not be as good as we want her to be.
Right.
I mean, if anybody is going to be able to actually talk to Chi-Chi's professionalism and being on point, it's probably Chester because he just saw her a week ago or over a week ago live. So
I didn't notice anything odd when I was there.
Yeah. I got to see Trixie like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Trixie was amazing live. Like she did an hour set. Like she was on stage for a full hour. It was insane.
Just out of curiosity, how many songs did she do? Like, okay. How many of her original songs did she come out and perform?
She didn't do any of them. This was actually more of a comedy show, so she did a lot. So she did a lot of stand up and threw a few drag acts in there and did some comedy stuff on the guitar. But for the most part, it was a stand up.
Really? Gig. Oh, that's actually kind of nice of her. I just assumed that if you were to go to her show, it would be, you know, two or three songs of her own and then one or two, you know, drag numbers and some stand up. But yeah, that's kind of cool.
She came out on stage and she said, before you guys asked if I won All-Stars 3 or not, I'm standing here doing a comedy act in the middle of a high school gym in Halifax, Nova Scotia. You do the math. That was how she started the whole thing. I
Okay.
That doesn't mean anything, technically.
That's right. No, she could be trying to throw us.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I will own this now that we're like, because technically, if there's only going to probably be 8 episodes in All-Stars, we're already a quarter of the way in. So I'm just going to throw it out there that Trixie's one of my top 3 and was before the season even started. I was just like, unless she royally fucks up, which, according to the pre-show edit for episode 3, it may look like Trixie kind of falters a little bit. I'm not sure. Because I've paid attention, and when they fucking edit that shit, and then they put it out there, and then you actually watch the show, you're like, wait a minute. Like, that line doesn't go there, and that doesn't match to that. Like,
right.
So.
They do some very creative editing on that show.
To say the least. So,
well, we're going to get to their creative editing in a little bit.
Yeah. So my thoughts are bitching isn't winning, and the bitching is for two very particular people. And we've decided we're moving away from like the whole actual recapping thing. So I'm just going to say it. Milk bitching about her performance and putting it all out there, which you didn't. And, you know, Thorgy and the whole, I got shafted with my diva selection. Bitching isn't winning. It's that simple. Like, you didn't make it to the top and you didn't make it. So there's that. Chester, what are your thoughts on this episode?
There's some huge egos in that room, and a lot of them all need to be knocked down a peg or two.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. Milk being one of them. Her throwing a goddamn fit about being safe. But I need redemption. Like, I need validation. You're on the show and you're safe. I understand that you'd like to know what you did wrong or what you did good, but at the same time, you're safe. So obviously you didn't mess up or you didn't do very good. So figure it out. But yeah. It doesn't just lie with Milk. Chi-Chi's the same way. How Chi-Chi can be so overly confident coming off of being in the bottom the previous week. Something's
and really probably right should have went home.
I will agree with you there. She probably should have, you know, if we're going based solely off of who did the worst, then yeah, you're right. She probably should have been the one picked to go home, but she wasn't. That's not what the gameplay is this time around. So it's just, I think people's egos. I will say one thing that on the first episode, I thought that BB's ego was huge, and we hardly saw any of her this episode.
Yeah, I think she dialed it back a little bit. I think she figured out the instant she was given Diana Ross, girl, just shut the fuck up. Like, you got the diva of all divas in RuPaul's eyes. If you know anything about RuPaul, Diana Ross is the one. So you just need to zip it. Like, it's that simple. You don't say a word other than I have to execute this, which is the reason why I played that mega mashup of stuff from the show. Was like Todrick. Like, that was one of the things about the show that I loved, was I like Todrick, and I like Todrick more because he was being the bitch choreographer director he needed to be.
I know. I couldn't get over some of the stuff that Todrick said. It blew my mind. I'm like, wow. But the attitude he was giving them is exactly what they needed.
Well, and I'm glad that he laid into BB the way he did.
Yeah.
Because if some of the stuff that's being said on the internet that's kind of getting around about this situation with her being in there is true, it's interesting that he kind of laid into her and was like, I like how he started off and he was like, this is like a Bianca Del Rio doing Judge Judy to the nth degree. Like it's not even on the same level. Like, you have to
exactly
realize you've got to be able to pull this out, which, to be fair, you could fuck up Diana Ross. You really can. So you know, she got complimented on the hair bounce. I thought the hair bounce was forced, but I think that's because there's always so much stage and you got other bitches behind you and you're like trying to get in front of them. So like, I understood that, like, spacing's a little bit of a thing. You know, spacing was a thing for some of them. Like, Trixie surprised me as Dolly. She goes to hand off the guitar, and I think she was too far off center because she goes to turn and it looks like she's going to fucking throw the thing like 2 feet over to like Celine or whoever is supposed to be closest to her to take it, which I thought was a little odd. I was like, why is she? What's going on? Because I thought, why does she look like she's going to throw the guitar? Like, Dolly wouldn't throw a guitar. Like, I don't know. So,
hey, yeah, it looks like we're being joined by another Canadian.
Oh. Yes, Derek. Derek just got home from work.
Hello. Oh, wait.
Hi, Derek.
Hello.
Nice. Oh my God, it's the white, fat, bearded RuPaul version in Canada. How nice.
I can't hear what's happening.
That's good. You don't need to hear. There was, there might have been a little shade there.
What?
And I just realized the way the light is shining on me right now, it's like we're giving season one filter right now.
It needs to be just slightly more blurry, but yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Nice. I have been trying slowly over time to improve my situation. So now I'm like, feel like I'm being lit almost by like God to make where we are today. So little improvements as you go along. Everybody tries it. All right. So anything else, Chester, you wanted to say on thoughts in the episode?
No, just people's egos need to be knocked down a few pegs. That's all.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get that soon. I don't know how soon, but soon enough, maybe. So let's get ready to, jump into this. So we're going to do snaps and eye rolls, and I have this one clip that I want to play just so this is like a little bit obviously like for me than it is for anybody else. I have spent years trying to get this clip and I finally was able to because, well, the person who says it doesn't like it being out there necessarily for people to know.
And don't fuck it up.
So for those of you that aren't aware, Mama Ru actually does drop the F-bomb. In fact, she talks like a sailor all the time and she tries not to. And that's part of the issue is that normally a lot of the show is edited and censored. But if you have like an iTunes account, you can actually get uncensored versions. So then you have to like, you know, scour to try to figure out if you can actually catch where an F-bomb gets dropped. And actually in that mega mashup that I played, I was surprised because even Todrick drops the F-bomb at one point. So I was kind of like,
oh, wow.
Oh yeah. So, snaps and eye rolls. So the reason I like playing, RuPaul's Don't Fuck It Up is because, snaps are for your hits, your highs, like things that like, you know, stood out, and your eye rolls are for the misses or the lows, the things that like, you know, you probably shouldn't have done. That being the case, Greg, why don't we start with you? What were your snaps? What, who do you want to give snaps
for? Well, my definite snap goes to Shangela. I didn't know what to expect from Shangela when she came back. I am pleasantly surprised to see what she's bringing to the table now. It's almost like watching a younger Alyssa Edwards now. Which I'm perfectly okay with because I love Alyssa to death. So seeing Shangela have the Alyssa-isms but have her own personality is great. And then it really showed in this episode with both her Mariah Carey, which was genius, and then her runway look, which was off the hook. So for me, all around, Shangela killed it for me this episode. So definitely my snap goes to Shangela.
All right, and then this is when we get shady. Shitty and shady. Who are your eye rolls for?
Oh, my eye roll, as the Canadian on the panel, Milk's god-awful Celine impersonation. I just wanted to come through the TV. I'm like, first of all, you're not doing any of the Celine-isms. And if I heard him say Celine one more time when her name is Celine, I was also quite upset by that. When did Celine Dion ever
out there? Nobody in the U.S. pronounces it Celine. It's Celine.
No, it is Celine.
I'm not disagreeing with you. We know her as
everybody pronounces. Everybody probably pronounces it the other way, especially in the States. But, and when would she ever wear a jar of peanut butter around her neck? Like, give it up. I get what he was going for, but the whole thing just failed miserably for me. So that definitely was my eye roll of the night.
I will give you that when I saw the peanut butter, I was like, what the fuck is that? And then I realized what song they were doing. And I'm like, okay, I kind of get it, but
I didn't catch the joke until the second time I watched the episode. So I'm like, if that's the problem. If you're going to have a joke like that, it's got to be very apparent and something that you can catch immediately. And that was one of those ones that you actually had to think about to catch, and it just didn't make sense.
Right. No, and I have to agree that even I didn't catch it the first time. I was so confused. And what annoyed me a little bit was that I was watching it live streaming online through VH1.com, and there was a little bit of a delay between the audio and the video. So I was like, wow, this is kind of shitty. Like, so it took until she gets to the part where she goes, peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter. Like, and she says it like 10 times in a row, and she's like doing this weird robotic kind of thing across the stage. Milk is. And I was like, what is? And I was like, oh, okay. And it just, what I didn't realize was that as a tribute to RuPaul, they were going to be singing RuPaul songs. So Milk fucked it up leading off the Diva show, because I didn't, like, it took too long for me to realize, oh, they're all going to be singing RuPaul songs in the,
yeah, because the first couple you couldn't tell what the songs were unless you really listened to them.
I should have had one that, was lost the first time I heard it through, and then It wasn't until one of the other, and I don't even remember which queen it is now, that said a line, and I was like, oh, they're doing Rue's songs, but the words have all been changed.
Yeah, it was messy, in my opinion, what they were trying to do initially. Like, but here's the thing, is it gets better. So
it does.
Like, that was that was the part where I was just like, okay, I'm not sure how this is, like what they were trying to achieve fully. I don't know. I guess maybe in my mind, I thought they were going to sing the Divas song that best represented RuPaul. You know what I mean?
They have VH1 money now, but still they still don't have that much money.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, everyone keeps talking about, oh, they got VH1 money. And I'm like, yeah, but it's still Viacom. So.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. I never thought of that.
I mean, Viacom's still the parent company. So people are like, oh, well, they're spending money on this, but not spending it on that. And I'm like, I don't know. I think they're spending more money on marketing and advertising than really. Yeah. Money on the show per se. I don't know. So, but yeah, no, even like, and it took me like, I didn't. So now, yes, when I went back and watched it the third time, I'm like, okay, Milk with a big ass jar of Skippy around her neck on this fucking huge, ridiculous gold chain. Okay, now I get it. That is supposed to be supposedly your tribute to the Titanic, like, you know, heart of the ocean jewel shit.
There, like, I still didn't get that after the second episode. And now that you've explained it, now it makes sense. I didn't get that.
Right. And that was the part where I was like, but it wasn't on a big ass gold chain. And like, maybe if you had worn that Oscar performing gown instead of the Met Gala shit that nobody knows what the fuck it was.
No.
But she's an up and coming fashion icon. So.
And so's my butthole. Whatever. I thought that was ridiculous. I couldn't believe she said that. She's like, oh, she's an up and coming. Like, no, she's not.
Girl, if you keep getting the edits the way you're getting, you're not going to be up and coming anything when the season is over.
In fact, I'm going to do a real quick look and see if I can find. Oh, there it is. I wanted to see this stupid fucking Met Gala gown thing from 2016.
I looked it up. Her outfit looked nothing like the one that Celine wore on the red carpet. No, nothing.
Well, I mean, it's. I get it. What she was trying to do. Because I'm gonna copy this over for Chester so he'll see it.
I do. It just missed the mark.
Well, that didn't work. There's a part of that is a message I was trying to send earlier that didn't come through. We already fixed it. So looking at the picture, I'm like, okay, yeah, but actually, you know what? She's not actually wearing a leotard. I mean, like, there's a lot more component kind of stuff. And actually, when I look closer at it, where's the belt strap, bitch?
Like, good fucking God, that is an ugly dress.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, she's got so many iconic looks. I mean, you could have even put on a really fancy pantsuit and you would have been all right. But why that look? Why that one?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not what I wanted to do. I'll tell you, because even I was a little stumped when she got Celine Dion. I was like, what exactly could you wear as a Celine Dion outfit that people would instantly recognize? Because I mean, like, to me, she doesn't stand out that much fashion wise. I think she's always wearing just a gown or a pantsuit or something. But I think I know what I was thinking of. So let me see if I can find this real quick.
That's probably true. I mean, you know, had she wore anything that looked good, it probably would have passed because she doesn't have the iconic looks that some of the other divas do. That's for sure.
Oh, I'm looking at some of these.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I mean, Derek's looking at pictures next to me right now. I mean, she's got a lot of awesome looks, and they probably don't translate worldwide. Like in Canada, we'd probably recognize them, but I don't know if her popularity worldwide has the same appeal.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a fair statement to be like, you know, what's the dealio with that?
I'm screen sharing right now of Celine. How is it?
Celine.
Celine at the Met Gala compared to Milk's runway look. And
yeah,
they're vaguely similar, but if you compare the very first episode of season 9 where they were taking iconic Lady Gaga looks, those guys killed it.
Yeah.
This looks like shit.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it too and I'm like, there's some issues. Like the one for me is the brief cut, how the like Milk's obviously wearing like a leotard, you know, whatever, but right. It's Celine is actually wearing something that comes a little bit down onto the thigh for the silver thing. This black piece comes up and it stops where the suede buckle belt thing is. Like, I mean, there's some execution type things that are kind of missing. So I was trying to give you guys a different image to click on. If I think of Celine Dion and I ever think of anything iconic, it's probably, which I don't know how this would translate on the stage. I think the problem is this is not a glamorous look, but her Falling Into You album is like one of my favorites. And it's when she had short hair and she's wearing like the white top and the jeans. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling like if you wanted to do that, you probably would get critiqued for it not being, you know,
glamour enough
or whatever.
But that would be a perfect Milk look. Cause that's what Milk was famous for on their other seasons, so
it can still be adapted to something else. It could have been a rhinestone skirt with a white rhinestone top or like a bustier or something, and she still could have pulled off that look.
In my opinion, Milk should have been bottom two instead of Thorgy.
Safe.
I think Thorgy shouldn't have been in the bottom two and Milk should have been.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there.
Now, this is interesting because check this one out. This lemon chiffon number probably would have been way better to try to pull off. Although, interestingly, she looks blonde in these pictures instead of being a brunette.
So, well, she does change her hair color a lot, so it wouldn't surprise me if she was a blonde at some point.
She's got money, she can afford it.
Yeah.
I always thought she was a blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently
She's been a redhead, she's been a brunette.
Apparently that's a Dior outfit, maybe? I don't know. Anyways, enough bitching about that. Chester,
okay.
Why don't you give us your snaps?
My snaps, and I'm going to screen share this because it's just, I think it's fantastic what she was doing. My snaps are for Aja's runway redo of her disaster look. So viewers at home listening can't see this, but if you are watching, over on the right, it's from her season with just that god-awful outfit that she wore for Disaster. It was for the fantasy and friend, like sidekick challenge.
Yeah, yeah, your princess, it was supposed to be your fantasy princess or something, and then your sidekick. Mm-hmm.
Right, and your sidekick, right. But yeah, her outfit with that was just fucking god-awful. And then this season, she redid it, and it's a fucking knockout.
Aja's actually was probably one of my least favorites from that season. And then she come back this year, and I'm like, ugh, why is she back?
But she's amazing.
But she's turning it out the first couple episodes, so I'm quite anxious to see where she goes from here.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Was it a vast improvement over what she did before? Hell yes. Like, this would have been so great, that outfit. But I didn't like her hair. It was too small. It was too tight. There was just something weird about it. And then, like, you could see where it was coming away and on the sides. And then her neckline bugged the fuck out of me.
At least it wasn't as thirsty as the last wig she used with that outfit.
That's true. But it was just, was it a huge improvement? Yes. But I wasn't blown away by it. I was like, yes. Obviously, now you know how that should be done.
No, I'm not saying it was the best on the runway. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that the amount of improvement, and for as bad as Aja did on her season, she has definitely taken all of that, like what I said earlier, she's taken all of that critique and thought it through, and this is what we're being presented with. And that's why I said earlier that I think that I think there are a few queens, Aja being one of them, that are slowly edging out the competition. So I'm very much looking forward to what else she's going to be producing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And her Amy Winehouse, and her Amy Hunt Winehouse was... it was killer. I
only know brief snippets of Amy Winehouse. So when she was up there doing it, I was like, oh, okay. I guess I kind of see Amy Winehouse. But what's funny is she reminded me of... what's her face?
Yeah, Sophia?
No. No. Oh gosh, the one from Seattle that left All Stars 2.
Oh.
Adore.
Yeah. Oh. For whatever reason, when she was up there, I kept thinking, that's Adore Delano.
Yeah, you know what? Adore could do what Amy Winehouse, now that you mention it.
Yeah, she could. I mean, I think what I didn't like about the Amy Winehouse impersonation wasn't Aja's fault. It was the voice actor. There was just something about it that bugged me a lot. It was, I think it was a bad imitation. And that's,
there was actually a few of them I thought were bad.
She had kind of had a bit of a Cockney accent anyway. So like, she did kind of have that harsh like accent. So it's like, I see where you're coming from with that.
But she doesn't sing like that.
No.
She might talk like that, but she doesn't sing like that.
Right. I mean, I think that's the thing that people talk about with Adele, like to hear her talk and to hear her sing. Everyone's like, oh, it's just so, you know, different. It's kind of like Susan Boyle. Like, you know, everyone, all these artists from the UK, they have amazing singing voices. Well, that's because they're singing in American English, so to speak, as opposed to, you know, their regional dialect. But I don't know. There was just something about it. I mean, even I will own this. The Ben de la Creme Julie Andrews was not good enough. It was really good, but it was just off enough. I was like, okay. Like, is it passable? Is it okay? Yes. But I guess I'm critiquing it because, like, I think the voice impersonation for Dolly Parton did really, really, really fucking good. Like,
she did.
Yeah.
And got, like, how Dolly's got, like, kind of that lilt and the little squeaky kind of thing. Right. Like, I mean, so I think there were some things about that. I think the Patti LaBelle one, you know, there was some of that was pretty good. The Janet Jackson, I don't know. And that, yeah, I'm not even talking
that was
about
awful
the performance, but I'm talking about just the song. But yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chester, what's your eye rolls for?
My eye rolls are for the production company. And for a very specific reason. And it's kind of like what happened to Katya in season 2 when they did this very same challenge, although then it was known as the Bad Girls of History. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Herstory. Yeah.
Herstory. Yes. Bad Women of Herstory. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baddest Bitches in Herstory.
That's it.
Katya got the shaft on that because of who was chosen for her. And I kind of think the same thing happened to Thorgy.
I absolutely do.
Because.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll say that Stevie Nicks is an icon. Sure. Mm-hmm. She can be a diva in her own right. Not quite like the other ones are a diva. And even Julie Andrews, I don't necessarily think of her as being a diva quite like the other ones. But at least Julie Andrews is known well enough that she could be, she could fit into that. I don't see Stevie Nicks in that same light. And it's like, well, what do you do for Stevie Nicks?
Thorgy played Stevie Nicks very well.
Yes.
But again, I hate to say it, but I mean, as much whining as Thorgy did, maybe she went a little overboard with the whining, but she was right. She wasn't wrong. She was totally right in what she was saying. She had, they gave her the character that she had the least to be able to do with. Now,
here is part of the reason why here's part of the reason why I think that Thorgy got kind of a big shaft on getting Stevie Nicks. When they were all doing their choreography with Todrick Hall, she gets up on stage and Todrick's like, I'm not going to give you any choreography. And I'm like, the first time I watched it through, I didn't catch it. I was just like, oh, okay. Todrick's going to let Thorgy, you know, kind of make up her own choreography because she kind of knows her well enough, knows her movements and whatever. But then when I watched it the second time through, I'm like, that's kind of shitty. Everybody else gets a choreography and gets pointers and tips on how to portray their character better. But Thorgy doesn't because she gets Stevie Nicks. And then for later on, Todrick even backs up kind of my point. When BB gets up on stage, or actually, I don't know if it's Todrick that says it. One of the judges says, you didn't do much, but we love what you did and thought it was great. And that just kind of blows my mind. Like, here's Thorgy doing all these things, and she didn't get any help. This other person, BB, gets up there, doesn't do a fucking thing, and she did great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. So here's the thing about this controversy about BB getting Diana Ross and not having to do anything. I'm sorry. Have you watched Diana Ross? I don't see that bitch jumping around and doing death drops and pussy splits. She is a diva. She kind of slowly walks across the stage and gestures. And so yeah, like they, like Thorgy could bitch that BB is Diana, Ross is BB, whatever. But I was like, so, like, I think what happened for the production team is I think they knew who the queens were that agreed to come. And then they were planning the season and they knew they were going to do the show. So they specifically thought about the personality of the queen, the contestant, and then tried to match them with the diva they think that they could pull off. And so, yes, absolutely. I think that Thorgy was a shoo-in for Stevie Nicks. However, after watching the show three times, I'm tired of the Thorgy and, oh, you can't do anything with Stevie Nicks and she's not really a gay icon. Because do you know what has happened this past week? Do you know how many drag shows have popped up across the country focusing on Stevie Nicks? Like, if you want to look like an asshole, now is the time you look that way, Thorgy, because a lot of bars are like, bitch, like, Stevie Nicks isn't a gay icon. Like, that's it's actually kind of bad.
I was even reading an interview today. So go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead, Derek.
No, I was even reading an interview today. Thorgy has even said, if given the chance again, Stevie Nicks would do it again.
Which, I mean, I think she figured out. I think it was a little bit of the edit when she was talking back to the judges this whole moment where she was like, you know. Well, mm-hmm. She did blame the editing
in that interview too.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised that what she said and what she meant maybe didn't quite come out.
Yeah.
I know.
Because even she said, and this is before that they were on stage when they were, you know, in the workroom getting ready. She even said that she is my icon. And yeah, after the second time I watched it through and she said that, I said the same thing to myself. I'm like, that was just some bad editing. And I'm pretty sure she didn't mean it the way that it came out, because I guarantee she added more words to that that we never got to hear.
That's what she said in the interview.
Yeah.
She said that Stevie Nicks is not a gay icon compared to Mariah Carey, Patti LaBelle. And the others.
Patti LaBelle's a gay icon?
I would consider that.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to own that I'm a white male, so I don't know.
I probably would have preferred to see Donna Summer in the mix, but that's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all I kept thinking was, where the fuck's Whitney? Like, hello?
Sasha wasn't available because she's already won.
No, you don't know. That's not how that works. I was like, you know, if we're going to talk about, you know, divas and divas of color, where the hell is Whitney? Like, what are the all-time divas? Or for that matter, where's Michael Jackson? If they're going to poke fun at these high-level world-renowned diva celebrities, I kind of get where Thorgy was like, I'm not so sure about Stevie Nicks, but
I won't disagree with you that Stevie Nicks was a good choice for Thorgy to do. Like, you know, them picking Stevie Nicks and saying, Thorgy, you're going to do Stevie Nicks. Mm-hmm. I think it's spot on.
I guess if I was going to play devil's advocate, if we look at other seasons where somebody is taking a small role and run with it and won a challenge, maybe there was an opportunity there for Thorgy had she played it a different way.
Maybe right. She's a bit more minimalist and kind of exaggerated that.
I got to give Thorgy snaps, though, that during their rehearsals that she's like, you know what? I have a very small part and there's not really a whole lot that I'm doing. I'm going to wedge myself in there and be part of the backup. So I got to give her props for doing that.
Right. I think that even though she's too much in her head, which she is, she admits it. I think that she made a point of trying to put herself out there. And it seems like Todrick complimented her, like that she stepped forward and was like, you know, I want to be a backup girl. So she got to be a backup girl to Patti LaBelle, you know, holding sweet potato pie. Okay. So I think that kind of worked. Having watched it three times, it was the third time around I was like, oh, Thorgy. Yeah. I see it. I see how you're not delivering it. You're too internal. Like, yes, Stevie Nicks is internal, but you're a fucking drag queen who is Stevie Nicks. You're not
right.
This isn't, you're not a stunt double on a biopic movie. Like, you're not supposed to be making a documentary, a mockumentary of Rumors, the album. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was the problem. she was trying to be too true to the artist. And I was like, no, like, that's the part that they're missing is never will these women sing a RuPaul song, at least that we know of. Do you know what I mean? And that was kind of the whole like farce of it. And I think that's what Thorgy missed, because Aja's comments in confessional to camera actually made more sense. By the third time I watched it, I was like, Aja's kind of right. Like, if you had an idea, maybe you should have run with it, because drag in some ways is meant to be exaggerated and kind of, you know, fun. And no offense, it wasn't really fun. Like the only funny thing about the whole Stevie Nicks thing is that she spins and spins and spins and spins, and then she gets dizzy. And when I watched it the third time, I was like, you stopped spinning too early. Like, you were doing a real Stevie Nicks to start, and you kind of went a little further. And then there's about three beats before she makes that comment about like, she thinks she's dizzy because she spun too much. And I was like, no, you didn't, you physically didn't spin enough. Like,
yeah,
like you should have, you know, really kind of kept going and maybe played it up more. Like, you had a flask and you were drinking while you were spinning, or doing a line of coke off your hand. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm just like, yeah, brainstorming, but just something to kind of heighten it a little bit more. And I think she felt too dejected. She was like, "This is all I have to deliver." And it's kind of like, well, that's on you. Like, I'll go back to season one when RuPaul loses her shit on Tammy Brown. And Tammy was bitching about how, like, those two judges called me losers and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Rue goes off. But one interesting thing I'll never forget is Rue said, but you forgot who you are. Like, you are the drag queen. You are the performer. You're the one that has to deliver. So when it comes down to that and you're on the stage, you have to remember, no matter what you've been given, what you have to work with, you're the one that has to pull it out of you, so to speak. So I think that's really what it came down to, is they were kind of like, you can bitch all you want about the diva that you were given, but you could still make something happen out of it. Because to be honest, Shangela's Mariah was motherfucking annoying. And I didn't care for that personification, because they made it so obvious that they were making fun of Mariah.
Right.
Yet I didn't think they were making fun of Julie Andrews. I don't think they were making fun of Patti LaBelle. I don't think they were making fun of Dolly Parton. You know what I mean? Like, it was really weird to me. I was like, what the fuck is that about? Like, we're really making spectacle of Mariah's infamous divadom, not about her singing. Or
right.
Like, you know, or her artisticness, I guess. That's what, I don't know. It was just so weird to me. I was like, okay, well, and it really made Shangela shine in a way that I thought was not matching everybody else. So.
True.
That being said, my snaps are actually for this, if I can find it real quick. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but, you know, there's this. The simple tune. Yes, who's back in the house? He is kick-clacking about. So, yeah, Ben de la Creme's Julie Andrews. Hands down, in my opinion, is the best thing practically that has happened so far this season. And we probably have about six more episodes to go. It's just so ridiculously funny. And the instant it was happening and I'm live stream watching it, I was howling and I was like, she's motherfucking Whitney Avaloning this shit. Like, for those of you that don't know, Whitney Avalon is a YouTube artist, and she does the Princess Rap Battles.
So it takes
a classic character and then gets another classic character and portrays the two of them rap battling against each other. And it's so like mind-bendingly stupid and funny at the same time, because you basically are taking these pop culture things and putting them together that make no sense. And on top of it, they're rapping. And I'm like, oh my God, Ben de la Creme is literally channeling Whitney Avalon as Julie Andrews singing a fucking RuPaul song. As like from the sound, like dressed like the Sound of Music character. Like it was so wildly crazy. And I was like, Bendela, unfortunately for life, will probably be stuck with this. Like,
yeah,
you know, this,
yeah,
this
that's going to be something she's going to have to do on a regular basis. Probably.
I think the audience is going to have that expectation that she will perform this. And I also found it interesting that RuPaul said in the show, it took her 5 days to record that track. Like, there were so many words to get it down. Now, to be fair, I listened to RuPaul and Michelle Visage's What's the Tea podcast, and she says all the time that she has a problem with speaking, like Ru does. She says there are too many syllables. It's hard for her to remember names, to say things, to know how to pronounce stuff. So that wasn't a surprise for her to say it took me 5 days to do it. But I found it interesting that they revealed that. And I was like, yeah, because there's a lot of fucking words in that song. If you listen to that song, and I really like it, I was like, holy shit. And on top of it, you've got to be acting like Julie Andrews with an English accent and putting this whole thing together and doing fucking Todrick's body choreography. So that got all the snaps for me, for Ben de la Creme delivered on that in an insane way that was kind of unexpected. But they put in the edit, Ben de la Creme said, I just have to keep rehearsing it. It like instantly while sitting there was like trying to get the motions down. And I was like, that's the key to someone who understands like entertainment. Like, you're not just going to hope that you kind of get it. You're actually just going to keep working at it and working at it and working at it. So if you have to go back to your hotel room and you have to run it for 4 hours straight, well, then that's how it happens. Eye rolls. Oh, sweet mother of everything in the universe. Kennedy's motherfucking crystals.
Did you stone that face?
Again, you know what? She stoned that face.
You know what? Shirley Jackson should have, like, all of the short story, The Lottery, stoned that face. I am over it. I can't stand that shit on her anymore. The reveal was fucked up. So she does a runway. She comes out. She's wearing this crazy kind of looking thing that doesn't look any better than the original, in my opinion. She gets to the end of the runway and she does like a whoosh, like a pretty good rip. And then we've got this weird like 3 second. I got to unzip and pull the head thing off. And the no, girl, like you should have rehearsed the shit out of it before you got to LA and realized that that's not working. And come up with something else. I don't know what, like without the zipper, like with the, I don't know what. Snaps? Something to make it work better. Cause it just, I was like, what are you doing? And then she turns around and I was like, she did it again. She fucking.
After a long night of hooking.
I will be very surprised if next week when Ben de la Creme pulls out who she would have sent home, that it wasn't Kennedy. Because I think the only reason Kennedy is still around is because Shangela won the lip sync. I think had it went the other way, I have a feeling it would have went, Kennedy would have gone.
That's quite the possibility. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was looking at it, I was like, really? You bejazzled your face again?
Again.
I don't.
Bejazzled.
Just stop it. Stop. It is not a good look on you. It's not a good look on anybody. And since then, a meme has been created where they're showing other queens with glitter and jewels on their faces. And they're basically making fun of Kennedy, like, been there, done that. And one of them is Ben de la Creme, or not Ben de la Creme, sorry, Bianca Del Rio in her outfit where she was all silver from the reunion where she shows up on stage and she literally looks like a fucking award. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I was like, that's how you should have done your face, bitch. Like, you should have basically super glued glitter on top of a good foundation and just been done with it. All this has to stop. She would have looked so much prettier if she had not put all those crystals on her face. And what kills me
is, done something like some type of design or something with them, not just.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, she could have done a
better story.
Yeah. She could have done like a pirate eye.
Derek said a better story, but I don't think a story would have helped that.
A better story than
like shit either way.
Oh, it's the same story as season 7. After a long night of hooking.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Your long night of hooking needs to stop, girl. Whoever your John is.
Trey threw me in the fire.
Instead, just stay in the fire, girl.
No, yeah, that's what happened. She stayed in the fire and she crystallized.
What she does is she looks like she fell into, like, you know, the bottom of the, you know, pile of crystal meth. That's the problem for me with that. It's just,
well, I it's mean, not a good look. If we are talking about, yeah.
It's not a good look. So that's our snaps and eye rolls. Let's move on to our closing thoughts here.
Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
All right. So, Greg, what's your closing thought? This is your final impression or any extra thoughts you had on the episode? Like, because now we're moving into week three.
All right. So I kind of mentioned it earlier. This episode, it should have been Kennedy and Milk at the bottom two. I think the outcome should have been that probably Kennedy should have just went home. Like, bye. Like, she hasn't been up to the same level as the others have been in the first two episodes. I don't think even in episode one, I didn't think she was that great. We didn't see anything new from her that we hadn't seen already. So, you know, I don't think Kennedy has anything else to offer. So the sooner that Kennedy goes home, probably the better, and Milk can go right behind her. those are my two that I'm not liking and I kind of want to see go at this point.
Milk is the Roxy Andrews of the season and will make it to the top four.
Oh, do you think?
I think.
Oh, Derek, that's a bold prediction.
I think they're going to keep him as a floater.
That's a good thought. It is a possibility, but yeah. That's...
And maybe it's calculated. Maybe he is doing shitty along the way up so he can be a floater all the way, float his way to the top.
Not based on the way he reacted last week when he didn't make the top three.
Pity vote.
I mean, I'm sorry. Milk's antics in the workroom afterwards was like right out of the Laganja Estranja page book. It was too, you know. I mean, I was fucking waiting much? For the moment. Well, it was. She was being extra, way too extra for my taste, and. Like, that's why I loved, and I included in the mega mashup we're leading into the show, where Trixie says, this is a bit much for somebody who's safe. Like, Trixie just kind of called it out in confessional to camera. She was like, no. Like, and that's where I was kind of like, I really wish someone had called her out on it like Bianca did to LaConcha, just so I can hear Milk say, I'm feeling very attacked. Like, because Milk was being all vulnerable. That's not how you talk.
And my only other thought is Ben's going to kind of watch her back at this point.
Ben needs to give 150% every time now.
Well, Ben's in trouble if she falls in the bottom at this point, I think. The girls have kind of proven that they're not following the critiques, so... I wouldn't be surprised if she falls in the bottom two. Some one of the other girls takes her out. So, because she's clearly the front runner at this point, winning two back to back challenges.
Yeah, I think she would have a bigger target on her back if she had also won the lip sync and got another $10,000 tip.
I think she can. I don't think she tried as hard as she could have. I think. She played. She was half stepping. She was trying, but yeah,
she was half stepping on that lip sync.
I was pissy. Like in the Entourage app for COL Drag Race, I listed what was it, 10 things, Chester, that I had issues with like for this episode.
Let's recap, shall we?
And so I had a running list of issues, and one of them was about the fact that. I felt that she just kind of gave up. Yeah. Now, as someone else pointed out, though, they said, yeah, but I played that album a lot as a child, and that song is fucking long. And so, yes, it's not a pop song.
I'm kind of going to agree with you guys and kind of not. I think she put forth the effort at the beginning of the song. Once she realized that she wasn't going to win it, that's when I think she started to ham it up.
I don't know, I feel like she put enough effort to be entertaining.
Milk is spoiled. Number two, padding during the challenge annoyed me. Plus, her hair was for the runway was underwhelming. Number three, Kennedy has been consistently disappointing with her decisions.
That was all season seven.
Georgia gets walked all over and happens, allows it to happen. Number five, Trixie is the voice of bitchy Bob Costas commentator.
Love it.
Number six, Todrick has no time for issues. Hashtag professional levels level is all star. Number seven, Ben de la Creme gave up on competing in the lip sync. The comedy was bordering Mimi. I'm first annoyance for me. Really? Okay. Number eight, Rue's Spanish bolero gone nuts runway outfit was too busy. Number nine. Oh, let's save number nine. Number 10. Chi-Chi redeemed herself with laser focus.
Well, I guess.
Compared to how she performed for the variety show, she came on for this one. And she even said when she was being choreographed and she was there with, you know, the Janet Jackson deal, she said, because Todrick made a comment like, don't let your backup dancers outshine you. And immediately Chi-Chi's like, because I'm coming for you, girl. And I was like, oh, there we are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
Well, another thing, Chi-Chi, when pushed, say hi, does good. Hi, Evan.
He can't hear you, but hello.
So yeah, that was my running list of shit that I had from the episode that was a problem. But so I just and yes, I did not care for RuPaul's fucking runway outfit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
It was gross. Like, and I don't care if Zadi made the outfits again or not. Last week was a loofah sponge gone wrong fantasy. I don't know what that was. I had to laugh because there's a review online and someone called it. What was it? It was the judges were doing a tribute to environmental issues and RuPaul was showing us her support of how we need to combat red algae bloom. I mean, like, there was some crazy stuff. I was like, but this week I was like, I just kept staring at her and I was like, why are you wearing a Valance fringe? Like it looked like a curtain fringe. And all they did was they just bought like
Bruce Valance?
Like what?
Bruce Valance?
No.
She was wearing Bruce Valance.
Oh, bad joke. I didn't care for how, like, it was just, anyways, I didn't like it. I didn't like the dress.
It was gross.
Was this part of my list? I don't think I put this in the list. I was pissed at Vanessa Williams. I was like, I love you. But really, you came on back to RuPaul's Drag Race. It's the Divas episode, and you look like that?
I mean,
what gives? Girl, get your hair done up.
It's fair.
Like, you could deliver it.
At least she didn't show up in a rainbow bright onesie.
Well, that's or true.
Rainbow care brand. Yeah.
Like Meghan Trainor did.
Yes.
No, but the thing is, like, because they even make references to Wilhelmina Slater, who I loved as a character on Ugly Betty. I thought Vanessa Williams was a supreme cunt as that character on that show. But that's who she should have been channeling, and she wasn't. And I was like, girl, no, your hair doesn't look that great. Your makeup's okay. I was like, you are Vanessa Williams. Bring your shit. Step your pussy up. I didn't understand. That's what I got to say about that. So for me, my closing thoughts are some issues still exist. You've all been on RuPaul's Drag Race before. And now that you're back for All Stars, I'm kind of surprised, but not because this is the drama of the show. That's why we like to watch it. So I'm kind of surprised that some of y'all haven't got your shit figured out yet. Like you came back, one would presume you prepared, you studied, you read up, you practiced, you rehearsed, you, as Shangela says, took some sewing classes. Like you learned some stuff to be ready. So when you came back, you knew what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the part where I'm like, oh, some issues still exist. And that's really kind of surprising to me, because that's why I think there's like a top three, top four. Now, they may not make it to top three or top four, because the way the competition works this season, they might get, you know, 86 by the other queens, which would be tragic, because then that means a shitty queen will win. But
that's fair. But it happens.
I will see what happens. But Chester, what are your closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts are, I want to go back to the production of the show in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of already made all these points earlier with my eye rolls. But again, it's like season two all over again with the editing of the show and how they're setting people up in a very certain way. It's almost like they've manufactured how they want it to go. And it's like, do you remember when you were a kid and you got those books, the like choose your own adventure books? And it's like, oh, you're going to do this, turn to page 43 and you do that. Mm-hmm. And I think the show has been manufactured in a way. Well, if this person gets kicked off this week, this is how we're going to play it next week. And then we're going to let them unfold it. And then we'll go to our contingency plan.
But that's to be fair, you just described every reality show on TV. I mean,
right?
They're all played out the same way. As much as we like to think this is what's actually happening behind the scenes, and this is the realism, the producers are manufacturing everything behind the scenes. So, you know,
it's just a lot of. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying about Todrick Hall when they were doing the rehearsals and him saying, no, Thurgy, I'm not going to give you any direction. You're going to figure it out on your own, and we'll work together about what you think is best for your character to do, while I'm going to pull the other seven aside and I'm going to show them how to do the moves.
Well, and this brings up an interesting point, Chester. Do you think that Todrick didn't have an idea of what the fuck to do for Stevie Nicks? And that's why he didn't present
it? How come there was no rehearsal for Celine Dion?
I do think that. And I don't think that's very fair to Thorgy. That's why I'm saying I think that, in a way, the production of the show was kind of shitty in that manner. It was almost as if Thorgy was set up to lose. Not necessarily, okay, we're going to start this episode and we're going to make sure Thorgy does shitty. I think because she was kind of given a bad hand, she didn't really have much to work with. And a lot of that comes from the fact that she didn't have direction. Yeah, Evan's behind me is saying she had to reach further than the other girls did.
Yeah. Agreed.
So in that case, and in that sense, the production of the show, I think is an issue. And if not, then the production and how they edited the show with Todrick saying those things and leaving it there, I think is pretty shitty. Unless they, again, wanted to manufacture this conspiracy theory of, well, Thorgy got dealt a bad hand. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree. I don't think that you're wrong. I don't think that you're off base.
No. I think we all kind of agree on that one.
So, I mean, it is unfortunate that some of the queens end up being the result of decisions that are made. But in a way, I mean, I don't know. I think that happens all the time. And you just perhaps the truth of the show is more about like, how can you rise to the occasion no matter what you're given? Now, here's the thing, though. I think we know in advance, thanks to some other queens, Fifi O'Hara being one of them, before you even arrive and land in L.A., you have been given stuff.
The dossier with all this stuff. And
right. Yeah. So they knew that they were all going to be portraying celebrities at some point. So in a way, Thorgy knew she was going to be doing Stevie Nicks, just like Shangela knew she was going to be doing Mariah Carey. Like that's the only thing that annoys me a little bit is they all act so shocked and surprised and happy when they get their assignments. And I'm standing there going, but
girl, you knew about this. Yeah. Right.
You knew this was coming. You just didn't know how it was going to work out. So
Trixie Mattel did not know that she was going to be doing Thorgy.
Have you guys seen Derek and Greg? Have you seen what Chester's referring to?
Oh, I saw it today. Yes. Yeah, we laughed about that. That was pretty funny.
It was pretty spot on.
Yeah, it really was.
It's pretty crazy how she wears that, you know, all those braids and puts Thorgy's glasses on and starts talking to like her, and immediately I'm like, oh girl, like have we started a new thing that you're just gonna spoof the other girls before we even get to Snatch Game again? Like
we got 2 weeks more for Snatch Game. Two weeks.
Well, and that brings up an interesting point. I'm kind of wondering about this. Do we need a Snatch Game in All-Star season? And I'll explain why I'm asking the question. I love, don't get me wrong, I like Snatch Game, but it's, you've already done it in your own season. Mm-hmm. And it would only make sense to me if everyone in their season did a shitty job on Snatch Game, that you do Snatch Game again, because you're really trying consistently across the board. Everyone is trying to redeem themselves. I don't know if everybody that's an all-star in season 3 as a contestant did a bad job at Snatch Game to begin with. So that's why I'm like, oh, okay.
Milk.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, her Julia Child was pretty crappy.
Yeah. I think the rest were good, if I'm thinking back.
If Morgan was still there, that pink was awful.
Yeah, true.
Thorgy's Michael Jackson was, Ben Grock, her Snatch Game.
Right. The ones that won their Trixie Snatch, didn't make it got the snatch game got the hardest part of it, because everyone expects so much of them. So if Ben and Kennedy both make it to Snatch Game, then they've got tall orders to fill.
No, Kennedy did it Snatch Game. She grocked it.
No, that's what I'm saying, that they've got tough shoes to fill because they won it once.
Yeah, already. Trixie didn't.
No, I said Kennedy and
Ben.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have two that didn't make. Right. We have Trixie and Aja didn't get a chance to do Snatch Game.
Right. Oh, that's right too. I forgot about that. So we don't.
Yeah.
Know
so how I don't know. Yeah, and so I'm just kind of like, I guess it's expected to be there, but I don't know if it has to be there. I mean, to be fair, in all the seasons, there's only been two seasons that did not have Snatch Game, which is season 1 overall of the series. And I believe it's the first All-Stars didn't have a Snatch Game either.
Right.
That's correct.
They did Ruse Gaffin instead.
They did the Gaffin thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But since we're pretty much getting ready to wrap up the show, I'm kind of curious. I will own. I am not playing the Fantasy League. I'm not interested. But are any of you doing the RuPaul Drag Race All-Star Fantasy League?
I wanted to, but
I don't think we can play while we're in Canada.
That's super shady. What's that all about?
I think it's just like I think it's only open to a US, isn't
it? I think it's only open to US. I don't know why.
Because it's VH1.
You guys have really good
that's right.
We don't have VH1 up here.
That's right.
Oh,
maple syrup and honey holes and all that stuff, you know.
Whoa,
honey holes.
Long story.
I had to throw that in there. Couldn't help myself.
But we already know what it means.
Oh, honey hole.
Oh, honey hole.
Eek. Chester, is Drag Race Bingo still a thing? Or is that more for just like...
No, I wanted to work on doing it and it just got away from me. And
okay.
Maybe I'll have it for the final episode or something. But since we're wrapping up, I wanted to go back to number 9. Because I think it's important that we talk about number 9.
Okay. From my list on Entourage.
From your list, yes.
Or Telegram.
Number 9?
Yeah.
Chad Michaels' nonverbal face work in the final scene is hysterical. She looks so fucking deranged, and I love it. Now, the first time I watched the episode, I didn't really notice that. I did notice that their scene changed compared to the first episode.
Okay, but, so to catch everybody up who's kind of listening and watching, so to speak, we're talking about the very end. So at the end of the first episode, Morgan McMichaels goes home. We've discovered they're in front of a green screen. They're holding their maquette statuette of RuPaul. Second episode, Thorgy Thor has been, you know, sashay away. She goes back to the workroom, but she's actually in front of a green screen. And so last week, or for the first episode, it was Morgan by herself in the workroom, quote unquote. And then when you go back to her again, behind her at the top of the steps are Alaska and Chad, who are the two current Drag Race Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. And then they get closer on the third shot. So this running gag is happening from The Handmaiden's Tale, poof or whatever. In this episode, what I noticed is that, yes, they changed it slightly. And this time, Chad and Alaska are of a hell of a lot closer in the reveal. And what I noticed was that Chad reminds, and I've never seen these movies, but she reminds me of the one psychopathic killer from the Saw movies.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, I can't remember what that character's name is. The puppet.
Yeah.
Jigsaw.
No, well, that's not the puppet's name, though. But, no. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, that was like... So this episode, if you go back and you watch the last clip of Chad Michaels' face, she looks deranged, and it
I'm gonna have to look for that.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I howled so hard. So Chester, that's what you were. What about this? Do you want to discuss?
Nothing. I just think it's fantastic, and I'm waiting for something to happen with that because I'm so interested in it. Because I think the two of them together, you know, we're not used to seeing Chad be creepy, but he's doing it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know Alaska can do it, and it's very fitting for her, and she's doing it really well. So both of them combined, they're just... Like, I want a whole show of just them two. Like Katya and Trixie doing their show, I want Chad and Alaska with whatever the fuck they're doing, a whole show of it.
I thought, honestly, I was like, what the fuck is Chad on? Did she do a line of coke before they started shooting this part of the filming or whatever? I was like, she just looks so wicked. And it's such a brief snippet, but it's like, because they're not really there with Thorgy, like when they shot those scenes, it's to the green screen. So they're implanted behind. So it isn't until you're watching it live air, do any of these queens know what the hell's happening behind them, which I think is even more hysterical because I want to be in a bar when one of the queens is going home, which is probably only two more episodes.
She kind of looks like one of... We just watched it, and she looks like one of the Belay brothers with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's warped, but it's funny.
I love it.
But when I first saw that scene, I thought it was the Belay brothers coming out of that building.
Yeah.
Because the opening is very Dracula.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I've heard some people make reference to that they're like spoofing Dracula, and I'm like, I haven't seen either of the two seasons, but...
Yeah.
Maybe. It's amazing. I don't know.
I don't think they're spoofing Dracula, but yeah, there's definitely some.
There's some similarities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, it was quite fun. So, are there any other things that you guys want to say before we do our sign off?
Nope, I'm good.
I think we are good.
Nope.
Okay. Well, if you do want to get in touch with us and tell us what your opinions are on the Drag Race All-Star Season 3, you can do that in many different ways. First of all, you can obviously go to our website, which is cubsoutloud.com. You can also shoot us an email, which is cubsoutloud@gmail.com. You can also give us a phone call if you want. Leave us a voicemail message, and we'll play that in the show. You can call us at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. And then, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, you can type in Cubs Out Loud to find us. All one word. If you would like to get in on the chat of what's happening, you can join us on Telegram, and you would look for the COL Drag Race chat group. That's tinyurl.com/telegram-coldr. And of course, you can go to the bareunderground.net website to join the COL group there. You can go to iTunes and rate us. We would really like it if you would do that. You can go to Stitcher's Radio. Give us a thumbs up. If you want to get in touch with me anywhere online, you can pretty much find me anywhere as GarBear73. That's GarBear73. Chester, what about get in touch with you?
Oh, let's see. You can find me. I usually have this on another screen. Sorry. you can find me on bear dating sites across the net under the name Cupcake76 or on Tumblr and Twitter under the name The Pup Up There. And Greg, where can they find you?
Well, they can find Derek and I on everything Men of the Den related. So we have our Men of the Den YouTube page, Facebook page, and Tumblr, as well as you can find my individual Tumblr page at Bear in the City NS.
And Derek, your personal stuff?
I'm pretty much your personal contact. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram under the tag name The Sweens.
The Sweens.
And there's that like SWEENES?
Yes.
THESWEENS.
Right.
So yeah, that's pretty much a wrap for our second episode of Tea Time. And in just a couple of days, we're going to end up with the third episode, in which Trixie is rocking a god awful retro look. I'm not sure what she's doing with this, so I'm hoping it pays off. We will see where it comes out at. But that being said, we're going to exit to yet, of course, RuPaul's ending song that they play in this season, which is Kitty Girl.